The Devil Wears Prada. Do you remember that movie? I want you to think about it because in that movie there was a scene where the character Miranda Priestley is talking to the new girl about her clothes and her oversized sweaters and what she chooses to wear that she thinks has nothing to do with the fashion world. And she reflects back on how that oversized sweater was a piece from a few years earlier on a runway by this person, and that she basically tore down every item of clothing she was wearing and showing how it influenced the fashion that she chose and what she chooses to wear, and that she is very much wearing things that come from the high fashion world, even if she doesn't know how to put them together and whatnot. And it was kind of a derogatory scene, but I want you to really, if you haven't seen the movie, go watch it. If you have seen it, picture this in your mind, because I'm using this as a reference point. I want to talk a little bit about my routine for the morning and the evening. And the reason why I want you to keep this movie, this scene in the back of your head, is because when I share about my routine with the general public on social media or through a podcast, I get a lot of feedback from experts with opinions that read a book, that read a thing, that have an understanding, sort of. And they have a percentage of truth, but not the whole truth. For example, my morning routine, though not perfect, I will try to take a swig of water in the morning. Admittedly, when it's a hot, summery day, I can down a 10 or 12 ounce swig of water in the morning. And sometimes I can't in the winter. For whatever reason, I'm not as thirsty, water isn't my thing. But it's not just any water, and it's not distilled or anything, it's just tap water. But I will add a half a teaspoon of Celtic sea salt that has oodles of minerals and things to it, but mostly for the salt. And I will add it to a 16 to 20 ounce tumbler and shake it up and have it available to sip while I'm in bed, or when I get up in the morning first thing, I'll take this big swig of it. Before I have coffee or protein or anything else, I have that first in the morning. Now, there's schools of thought. There's people with opinions on, you know, do this first, do this second. Drink water. Let's talk about the drinking water. We have heard for the last bunch of years that you should drink half your body weight in water, or you should drink eight ounce glasses of water. We've been pushing water on people for some time, that, you know, the Nalgene jug or the Yeti, or there's just all these different jugs that sell like hotcakes, wildfire, because you need it to carry your water around, your personal water supply. Some people say to drink alkalinized water or pH balanced water or tap water or still water or deionized water or distilled water, whatever your water base is. Or maybe you drink all kinds of drinks and then you say, well, this was made with water, right? So water. We are starting to hear people say, well, I don't know. You're supposed to drink a lot of water, but then it makes you use the restroom an awful lot because you're not drinking your water with salt. And salt is what helps, like other electrolytes, to carry the water to your cells. And that's where you really want the water. You don't just want water. You have to drink water with electrolytes. Now, you have to be careful with this advice because the recommended daily allowance of sodium, for example, is 1 teaspoon. So if you are going to have a teaspoon of water, or a teaspoon of salt rather, in your water, then you're not supposed to have any more salt the whole rest of the day. And if you eat an American diet, hell, how's that gonna work? There's inherently sodium in everything, especially if you touch something that's prepared, packaged, fast food. You might be over your salt limit just by looking at it. So let me tell you something about this advice we hear in the public eye about water, about anything health and wellness related, is that there are studies. Science doesn't say this is true, this is false, do this, do that. Science doesn't say that ever. There is no scientific study or journal that has decided this is what we should do and then changes their mind. That's not what science does. The scientific model says we took 5 adults from Kansas between these ages with this genome background and this family heritage and this height, weight, and profile, and we fed them a certain thing. And then we checked their blood before and 2 hours after. And we looked at what the results of the blood tests were. And we looked at these nutrients and we looked at this and we looked at that. And we did these studies. And what science will say is we conclude that for these subjects, these 5 or 10 adults from Kansas, with these traits, this might be true, or at least it was true in the condition of this test that we did. We also decided to do some placebos and a double blind because we want to make sure that when we do a test on these 5 adults from Kansas, that we also have an additional 5 adults from Kansas that take a placebo so that we can at least sort of say that in this test, our results might be kind of true. But there's so many environmental factors at play. It's impossible for science to say something is true because there's all these unknowns. They try to make assumptions. They try to do as best as they can. And when it comes to testing things for human consumption or for vaccines or for anything, science does its best to get samples, random samples, adults, children, different races, different backgrounds, again, best different gene sequences. They do an awful lot of testing. And they'll come up with all these tests and they'll publish these studies. Okay. They'll publish lots and lots and lots of studies. And you and I, we can read these studies to see the details of what they did. Coming up with the recommended dietary allowance, for example, of different food nutrients is something that there's a lot of studies that are done on it on a regular basis. And they continue to study what's the right thing. Is it 2,000 calories? Is this based on this activity level, these people, and what these nutrients can or can't do? Some nutrients will cause adverse effects. If you have too much of a percentage, what is that percentage? They do an awful lot. So at the end of the day, there are studies published. And they're published in such a way that you can read the clip of them. And sometimes they require you to go behind a paywall or a Journal of American Medicine paywall or something so you can read the whole study. And a lot of that is preventative. It's not like they're gatekeeping. They're just trying to make sure that the right people get it and they don't spread misinformation or just cherry pick things out of the research and cite it all over the place. But that happens all the time anyways, right? Doesn't it? So we have people telling us to drink 1/2 of our body weight in water. We have people telling us to drink 8 8-ounce glasses of water every day. We have people telling us to drink more than that. Some people say don't drink that much. Some people say add sodium or some other electrolyte mix to your water so that you can get these benefits. All of them are kind of true. They all have pieces of these studies in their truth, but what they are is they're making opinion statements and trying to make them always true. And we don't know. Science is evolving and continuing to do studies, and we know that for these handful of studies, this seemed to give a positive effect, and maybe there were some folks that got adverse effects. So if you have time, I recommend that you go on PubMed or the Journal of American Medicine or another ResearchGate type site, and you start looking up and reading the studies. They're fascinating to see exactly what they did in different situations. To determine the glycemic index of foods, for example, that's been something that's been tested an awful lot and revisited over the last 30 to 40 years, not hundreds of years, but 40 years. And the glycemic index of foods was published 20 years ago, and then again in 2021, and it's going to take, like they went from having 52 foods on the list to 4,000 in 2021. And they will have more in the future, but it's going to take some time. And again, they took studies with different groups of people, men and women, adult, from different areas of the country, areas of the world, with different kinds of backgrounds. And they fed them different types of food. And they did blood glucose testing. And then they compared it with a placebo and then with nothing. And they came up with these numbers, and they continued to study what that effect was on weight, on health. And it's just fascinating to read how much is there. But again, science did not come out and say, you know, if you eat a carrot, it's the same as eating a banana, and so they're both bad, or you're going to be diabetic. And they didn't say, drink water with salt in it, because you only need water for your cells, and or drink just water and no salt, and this sort of thing. They didn't say anything definitively. So if you're drinking your half your body weight in water, if you're drinking the 8 glasses of water, or maybe you're only drinking a couple of glasses of water, you're drinking when you're thirsty. That's the biggest thing, right? People say, well, if you're thirsty, it's too late. You're already dehydrated. Again, this is information that may have come from a study, and it might have been true in a circumstance. It's not true everywhere. So be careful with these quote unquote sources of truth, people that said a statement, because that's not science. That's an opinion. It's an opinion that makes sense in some situations, not all. But if you're in one of these camps, understand that water or any kind of a fluid that doesn't have caffeine serves a purpose. It flushes out toxins. It helps to carry things through the system. It helps your body to produce more blood and more cells. It helps to flush out your urinary tract and your intestines. And so whether or not you're consuming water with food or with salt or other electrolytes, it's serving a purpose if you're drinking that. And then, yeah, you might go to the bathroom more often because you're flushing toxins out. You're flushing the nutrients that are unneeded, the waste product out of your system, and this extra water is helping you to not have concentrated urine. Those are all positives, you know. Like when you water a plant, it takes what it needs and it drains the rest, and it looks like it's letting all of it go. Like, what did it use? But sometimes it doesn't need that much. Or, well, there's different schools of thought on how you water plants too, isn't there? We've seen a recent uptick of people saying that you have to soak the plant in a bucket of water because it's going to suck the water it needs up instead of pouring it down over the soil where it might just drift past everything and not really whatever. So there's water is, oh my goodness, so many opinions about what to do or what not to do with water. I digress. So thinking of Miranda Priestly in this movie, I'm just going with the idea that there are all these studies that happen all the time as far back as 50, 100 years ago, and they're continuing to accrue this study program and research and learn more about what does and doesn't work for different groups of people, that the opinions that you hear and you see on the internet that seem wild, they typically all came from some source of truth, even if it's 1% of the truth and 99% opinion. Just be careful and question what you hear and what you read and look for sources. Ask people for sources. Hey, if you're saying that, can you kind of point me to where you got that information from? Because that's kind of important. Maybe they don't know, but maybe they can say, oh, well, I heard it from here. And then ask them, can you cite your source? I want to look because, you know, Harvard's done a lot of research on this. Stanford, Yale, the Mayo Clinic, go off and look at the sources and get an idea of what they've done. Do some of your own experiments. Maybe 60 ounces of water a day does not work for you and you feel nauseated and oof. But if you drink 48 ounces of water, you're fine. So maybe that's your sweet spot and it's not going to work for other people. So figure out what works for you and develop a routine. So my routine when I get up in the morning is a lot of times when I go to the bathroom, it's been said that dark colored urine, concentrated urine, means I might be dehydrated. Well, I just freaking slept 8-10 hours, sometimes 5 or 6 hours. So yeah, I wasn't drinking anything. So I'm going to be a little dehydrated maybe. So I drink water first thing for that purpose. And just as a reminder to just start out my day. And I like to start instead of having coffee first thing, I have water in a tumbler with a cap, like a shaker bottle near my bed, or sometimes I'll put it in my master bathroom, and it just has this water with a little bit of the Celtic salt, which I prefer because it has the magnesium and some other electrolytes in it, and I choose because I've been avoiding salt my whole life. Since I was a little girl, I had family members that were in love with food but had high blood pressure and issues with salt. And there was always this constant struggle with all the older relatives with new salt, which was like a fake salt replacement, kind of like a Splenda, but for the salt world. N-U-S-A-T, S-A-L-T, right? And there was always this thing of like not salting things or replacing the salt. And I just was terrified of whatever it was going on with people, nosebleeds and various heart issues, and just said, I will not have salt. I won't salt a thing. And I will read all my food labels from a very young age and avoid anything with sodium. I learned how to put potatoes in sauces and soups to draw the salt out. And I learned later on, working out, going to the gym, doing mud runs and things, that my body actually needs the sodium, like, terribly. And I got to start getting used to having some salt. And I just can't salt food. It tastes like a salt lick to me, like what you would give to a deer. It's just so obscene and over the top. So I have found if I add a little bit, a dash, or up to a half a teaspoon into 20 ounces of water, and I start my day with that before coffee, before anything else. And I start my day with this Celtic salt mixed with water. This is good. Sometimes I have it at night before bed. At some point in time during the day, I have it. But my goal in my routine is to have it first thing in the morning. I might take a sip of it. I might drink the whole 20 ounces. It depends on the day, how I'm feeling. It's not a perfect routine, but it's something I try to do. I also try for protein within a half hour to an hour waking up. That's not always perfect. I'm an empty nester. I used to have to make food and pack lunches and do all these sorts of things. And since COVID and my daughter being an adult now, I'm making new decisions. So I pack up some protein things, like some meats and cheeses and pistachios. And I make some little mixes of chia seeds and little puddings with that and Greek yogurt and all these things in my fridge. So I can grab and go when I need to. Or sometimes I'll get some little wrapped pieces of cheese and whatever and bring them upstairs. So in my master bath, I have a few things to grab right away if I'm going to be getting ready for a long time. But my staple is definitely the water. Even if it's just a swig of it, like an ounce or two, a swallow, it's something. I also have like a dental routine that I try to follow. And it's a little different than what most people do. And I'll just come right out and say that. I have had a horrible lifetime experience with dentists that ended up in jail, dentists with various situations. I have so much dental nightmares in my past. But I have found something that works to keep abscesses, infections away, pain. You know that when your teeth are singing because they hurt so bad, that sensitivity, I have found something that works for me to keep that away. And so I use a series of 3 mouthwashes. And I get special toothbrushes. I say special because it's really hard to find these everywhere in grocery stores and CVS and Walgreens, health stores, whatever you want to call them, medicine stores, pharmacies. They have these toothbrushes that have bristles that are soft and super soft. And what the hell is that? I need something that's like a firm bristle because I'm scrubbing my gums, not my teeth. I might take a little placard and very carefully clean any food particles out of in between my teeth. I'm not flossing. Let's be clear. I'm not flossing. I'm just kind of poking at any major food particles. And then I rinse my mouth out with 1 mouthwash first. It's kind of like it has a specific pH. It's got no flavor. And I just swish with that for about 15 seconds and spit that out. Then I take my toothbrush with a standard white pasty toothpaste. Sometimes it's just baking soda. And I just scrub my gums carefully back and forth, round and round. And I just kind of scrub my gums and my tongue and things like that, but not my teeth. And then without rinsing or spitting that out, I grab some Listerine, the original yellow, scary, oh my God, Listerine. I swish that for 5-10 seconds. Not a lot, it's gonna stink. It's just to kind of swish around anything that I've kicked up while scrubbing my gums, if they start bleeding or whatever. I just do that. It's there to kill bacteria, like on contact. It is like the Lysol for my mouth. Read it, the Listerine bottle. But I don't need it in there for a minute. 5-10 seconds tops. I spit that out and then I immediately grab another one that you squeeze the bottle and it fills a little cup and it's green and it's the ACT tooth mouthwash that like basically every dentist on the planet recommends to your kids. The non-alcohol, just the basic, not any funky ingredients. It's not anti-cavity. It's not whitening. It's not like these specialty 15 different things that it does. It's just standard green freaking mouthwash. I get the little cup of that and I swish that for the solid, you know, 45 seconds to a minute, spit that out, and I'm done. I'm done. And I can go and start my day, right? Get dressed, do my things, and then when I go downstairs, I'll grab my little protein bag. Sometimes I'll have time for a little lunch. All my protein bags in the fridge are 30 plus grams of protein. I might make a smoothie, taking supplements, whatever else I'm doing for the rest of the day. I try to stay on track with certain things, but my morning routine changes based on what my day looks like and what the weather is and that sort of thing. But the morning part of it right there stays pretty intact. And I know the research that I've read that goes with my dental program. I know that my own personal research in what it does for me, what kind of pain I do and don't have anymore. And I know how the water with the salt affects me. So I have my own little twisted research on me, the one person in my study. And I read, reflect, and question what I listen to and what I read to kind of understand it. I want to see the information behind it. I don't always want to read the whole study, but I want to know that the person who's giving me this information is not just pulling it out of their bum or, you know, saying, well, hey, I got a 20 pack of abs and I've got 2% body fat, so I know the truth. Not necessarily. I was a string bean in my younger years and I probably could have made $1 billion selling health secrets, but I was a string bean. And that in and of itself is not evidence that you know what's best for anyone other than you, in my opinion. So with that, happy memories of the Devil Wears Prada movie. Thanks for listening to me ramble a little bit about my morning routine. I'm curious, what is your morning routine? Are you subscribing to this 30 grams of protein within an hour of waking up or a half hour of waking up? We see that there's Dr. Gary Brecka. There's all these people that are on TikTok and Reels and Insta and all these different social platforms. And they're just pushing this stuff. And you're like, well, they're a doctor. Well, they've got this stuff under their belt. And they're pushing this narrative and saying, oh, well, research says, show me the research. Because it might be that they did some studies with 15 or 20 people in Kansas. And that might apply to you. Or maybe it won't. So be careful. Even Dr. Gary Brecka, he could be this leading expert with all this stuff. Dr. Amen, right? With his brain science. There's all these people that are out here on social media pushing this stuff with hundreds of thousands, if millions of views, realizing that they are earning money from this. So it's helpful to know that there is free information out there that you can just... don't take things from the surface. Dig a little deeper and try things out to figure out what works for you. And don't just judge the book by its cover, like this famed scientist doctor says, do this or that. Notice some of the leading researchers in the world are not the ones pushing this stuff on social. They're not. A scientist that works at a biology clinic for tumors and cancer science is not the one pushing that you should or shouldn't drink or eat a certain thing within a certain period of time. I'm not saying that Dr. Gary Brecka or any of these people are bad inherently. They just have pieces of the truth and they're pushing that out. And maybe like the fashion industry, going back to Miranda Priestly in that movie, maybe this is the way that they have the runway walk. And they show you this is what you should do. And some people are going to get influenced by that and wear the cool outfit. And some people are going to look at the scary trash bag looking outfit and go, I don't know. And then a few years down the road, you're going to see people might be doing these things. And I think that's where we end up, is that there's some of these people that are like, they're so sick of the obesity epidemic in the United States with the American diet. And they're all trying to figure out a way to get this tidbit of information, this nugget of gold out to the human audience and say, do this thing, because they all want to change the curve. And some of them are making money while they do it, but at the end of the day, they might be helping you to be healthier and they might feel like they're helping to change the curve to go from obese and you're going to have type 2 diabetes before you're an adult. Like, they're starting to change that dynamic by pushing these nuggets of info, quote unquote wisdom. Be careful. That's all I say. Use your brain. We all got one. Thanks for listening. Have yourself a great day. Until next time, this is This Girl Talks.